Amen. Amen.
Bless you.
Good evening, everybody. Hi. Before I start, I just want to honour Anna DC. Where has she gone? Like, I know I prayed for you, but like seriously, what you're doing is such a great thing. And I was reading this, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Not to be served, but to serve. You know, you're going because God has sent you to serve. And as somebody who works in that arena of human trafficking, we know there's 40.3 million people caught up in modern day slavery and trafficking. So what you're doing is an amazing thing. Rob and I were honoured to be your cell group leaders for 5 years. And you know, when she came to us, she couldn't read or write. So look at her now. just saying. Anyway, it's good to be here. So, my name is Laura. And I love to speak at this church. We've been here for over 20 years. And it's a good place to be. So the week leading up to our departure was crazy. It was crazy for me. But I remember intentionally setting aside time and space to listen to God, to prepare what he wanted me to prepare, a Bible study for every day that we were away from home. Because I knew, with everything else that was going on, that actually the Bible study and that time with God on a daily basis, that was going to be our main diet, that was going to be our food. And I think had I known what the impact was going to have had in that place, I probably would have taken longer to prepare. I probably would have put even more effort in, set aside some more time perhaps. You know, what if I devoted myself to that more? Maybe we would have seen even more miracles. Maybe we would have seen God move in a more tangible way if that was possible. Maybe we would have seen more of God's goodness. Everybody say to your neighbour, devoted. You got to be devoted. And I'm smiling because I don't even know if that's possible because God was so good to us. I don't even know if that was possible. You see, when I started to ask the Lord what he wanted me to talk about tonight, to think about what community is, what that looks like in our contemporary world in which we live, he gave me one picture, and a really vivid picture. And I think we've got it somewhere, haven't we, this picture. And it's a picture of our camp in the Grand Canyon. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, Michelle Lapine and I, a friend of mine that also comes to this church, this is where she's rooted, in May 17, we went to the Grand Canyon. It was part of a charity trek along the Havasupai Trail into their reservation. And we turned up at London Heathrow Airport to meet our fellow trekkers for the first time, a really eclectic group of people. And I remember thinking, this is going to be fun, but it's also going to be interesting. Very different. But you know, straight away, we were already in fellowship with one another. And I looked up what the dictionary means by the word fellowship. It says, a friendly association, especially with people who share the same interest. And you know what? Whether we were rooted at that point in great anticipation of what was going to come, or whether it was anxiety and fear because we were totally out of our comfort zones, we were all in the same boat. We definitely had the same desire to do this challenge, and therefore we were already in fellowship with one another. And that fellowship immediately got cemented into kind of a sense of community. We shared similar interests and attitudes about our imminent adventure. We talked at length about what was going to happen and what we were expecting and what was going to bring us closer together in that place. So let's read together the fellowship of the early believers. If you've got your Bible, it's on page 1104. Or if you need to turn your device on, that's fine. And it's, I'm starting to read, it's Acts chapter 2, starting to read from verse 42. It says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anybody who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So how can I help to model life for us today? How can this passage possibly form how I live life today? How can we have something of what these guys had in that New Testament church? Well, I believe it all starts with posture. That's where it starts, the way in which you align yourself to God. It says that they committed themselves, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayer. It all starts with the alignment of your heart. They gave their time and they gave their resources to the one thing that they had in common. They were of one mind and they were of one spirit. But it all started with prayer. Martin Luther once said this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. You can try that one if you want to, but you might struggle. But seriously, if you're not praying regularly, fervently, without ceasing, Paul says, doesn't he? You're not going to experience all that God has for you and wants you to do through him. And I think we all have periods of life where we kind of dip in and we dip out of prayer, like it's some kind of optional module, like, okay, I'll do it now, but I haven't done it for about a week. But I believe it's not optional. We need to marinate ourselves in prayer, soak in it, be devoted to it. It's our lifeline. And what do we read happened when they did this? It says, everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles. So firstly, we have to maintain the correct posture. And then comes productivity. We get to see the results because we've aligned ourselves to God. The signs, the miracles, the healings, the proof that God is at work. We get to see the productivity in our own lives, in the lives of others, the produce, the fruit of our labours. One thing for sure was that when Michelle and I were in the Grand Canyon, we had plenty of time to pray. We weren't short of time of that. You know, how could you not pray and give thanks to God in a place that was just so majestic, dripping with the beauty of creation, every corner, the creation workmanship of God in that place. We're totally in awe of him. And long stretches of trekking gave us plenty of time to walk and talk and pray. I remember singing, "How Great Thou Art." Can we just have the picture back up? Is that all right? We prayed for each other in that group, for each person in that group, sorry. We named them by name. They weren't Christians. Not that we knew of, but we thought we had a list and we're going to go through and we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that they encounter the Holy Spirit, that they feel something of God in the Grand Canyon, something that we already could feel. We knew that we were there for a purpose, that we were hope carriers to be a blessing. And on the first evening, we did Bible study together in our tent. And by the second evening, there were four of us. And then there were eight of us. And by day five, there was 12 of us doing Bible study together. Michelle and I were the only ones from a Christian background. And this was our church. And we actually started to call it Canyon Church. One of the women on our trip, she had kind of a limited faith. She was what I would call a little bit spiritually muddled. But most definitely, she had a prophetic gifting. You know, she like, it was on her. You could see it in her. She had it since she was a young child, for sure. And she came up to me once when we were in the camp, and she said, Laura, she said, I've got a scripture, and I think it's from God, and you've got a Bible. Can you look it up? And I was like, yeah, sure. What is it? And she said, It's Isaiah 32:2, and it reads this. Took my Bible. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Like, just like we couldn't believe it. I'm like reading this scripture, standing in the shadow, literally, of a great rock in a thirsty land, the red wall of the canyon. It was overshadowing us. And clearly, Michelle and I were that shelter in that place, that refuge, the streams of living water in a thirsty land. And what was so amazing is she told me how she got that scripture. I said to her, was it like a booming voice? Like, how did you get that? She said, no. She said, It was my seat numbers on the plane. I was like, right. We'd taken a couple of planes, and the first one was the long haul. That was, she was in seat 32, and then she was in seat 2. She gave me these seat numbers, and I guess God just said to me, it's Isaiah. And so God was really at work in a prophetic voice in that place. Like, we just couldn't believe it. And you know what? Everybody in that group, they were hurting for all different reasons. They were raising money for people back home, motivated by a sense of shame or guilt or pain. And he was giving us signs and wonders because we'd aligned ourselves. And we saw healings too. There was one woman on our trip and she had undergone surgery on her brain. And she'd not slept for 6 months solid. And she said to us on about day 3, would you pray for me? Because I'm just not sleeping and like I can kind of cope with it at home. But like, seriously, I can't cope with it on this trip. I'm just so tired. We were walking miles and miles and miles every day. And so we prayed for her. And she came up to us the next morning and she said, I slept through for the first time. Like in a tent. I mean, who sleeps in a tent anyway? But you know, he's faithful and he hears our prayers. Thank you, Lord. And then on the trek out on the last day, we'd asked God every day that we just said, God, we really would love to see an eagle. You know, we were kind of bold like that. We really want to see an eagle. We hadn't seen one. We wanted to see one. And the key verse that we'd kind of God had given us for this trip was the one in Isaiah 40 when it talks about the Lord renewing our strength, that we'd rise on the wings of eagles. And we're like, oh, that would just be a really nice touch, God, if we saw an eagle, wouldn't it? And then I was reminded when Jesus says in Matthew, you know, whatever you ask for prayer, believe it and it will happen. So I was like, come, Michelle, let's pray. And we started to sing a really great song called Holy Overshadowing. You probably know it as we were walking out. And we were praying, Lord, we'd really love to see an eagle. And just as we were like halfway through this song, a bold eagle just flew in front of our eyes and soared up like this. And only God could do that. So from a position of being in posture, like aligned to God, we saw productivity. But then also we created his presence. We called in his presence. Because when we have the presence of God in our lives, it changes us from the inside out. You know, it creates multiplication. The Message version of this same verse says this, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. The disciples shared all their possessions. They ate together. Every meal was a reason for celebration. They did life together. They lived in community together with one another. They had meaningful and supportive relationships, and they put others first. They came to serve. They learned the secret of living well. God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Say to the person next to you, God inhabits me. And in the canyon, if you needed some kind of foot care, and quite frankly, we all needed that, deary me, and someone just, you know, would just come and they'd sort your feet out. And if you were cold, they'd give you a jumper. If you were hungry, they'd share their last bit of their packed lunch. We gave everything to everyone who had a need. like without exception. We were family. And we also celebrated. There was a descent that we had to do down a big waterfall, down the side of a big waterfall called Mooney Falls. And my family have heard this a few times, and they go, yeah, but it wasn't that bad. No, it really was that bad. I asked somebody, if you can imagine this height of this arch and double it, I descended that without a harness. There were signs everywhere that said, certain death, keep out. I don't know why we did it. I remember thinking, well, the adventurer comes back. Well, you only live once. I remember thinking halfway down, yeah, that's the last time you're going to say that. And people die on this place. But, you know, it was really, really scary. But we did it. But what we did do is that we celebrated every person that got to the bottom. It was like a celebration of joy. Often things like that, you know, for every believer that comes to salvation in heaven, celebration of joy. But as I was preparing this talk, I also asked myself, this was a great family and a great picture of what life should be like, what the early apostles modeled. But what if we'd also praise God together? What if we'd broken bread together? What if we prayed for one another? What if? Because living in community, living in fellowship with one another, had definitely become the new normal. And it was great. And I guess given more time, potentially, we would have seen more signs and wonders and miracles. The Lord would have poured out his favor on us. He would have added to the company of believers. You know, we had Canyon Church. Stands to reason that we would have had some baptism, I guess. This had become the new normal, the normal rhythm of life for us. And I think we need to cultivate this culture of normal in our lives today. This is how we celebrate life together in community. Jesus whispers over us, "My common grace will sustain you. I will go wherever you go, whether it be the Grand Canyon or Harrogate, or Cambodia, or the ends of the earth, I'm there with you, my common grace." And boom, from that place of posture, prayer, obedience, reading the Bible, humility, it brings forth great fruit, productivity, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, the salvations. And by doing all of this, we're inviting his presence into our lives, into our everyday lives, celebrating the normal with everybody in our life together as a community of believers in Christ. So you've got posture, you've got productivity, you've got presence, and then finally, but not least, you've got power, because it all comes with power. The Holy Spirit comes in power, and it floods in our very being, into the places we dwell, into the lives that we have, into our communities, our schools, our workplaces. And the church, which is the body of Christ, which is us, people, that just grows and it multiplies and it multiplies. I was looking at the hallmarks of a healthy Christian community today that mirrors that of the early believers. And I believe it should have the same zeal, the enthusiasm, the energy for worship that the Jerusalem church had. It should have the same contagious zeal for brotherly and sisterly love. And it should be loving and growing in numbers. And although it was far from perfect in the canyon, we had definite glimmers of living in that loving, flourishing community. So firstly, posture. You've got to get yourself aligned right with God. You've got to do that. It all starts with prayer and reading the Bible and seeking his face. And so a question tonight, do you need to get yourself postured right with God, your heart aligned back to him? And then productivity, just stand in awe and look and watch what God is doing in you and through you. Look for the miracles, look for the wonders, look for the signs, expect them. And then presence, live in a wonderful harmony together in his presence holding everything together in common, sharing stuff, pool your resources, give away your finances to bless others, praise God, share meals, make every meal a reason for celebration. And finally, power. Welcome the Holy Spirit in so he can transform your life and transform your community. And maybe that's something you need to do too. Do you need to welcome the Holy Spirit back into your life, into the life of your family and your community? And doing that, the church will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. So we are Jesus' family of servants on a mission. And I say you need to find your community and get to work. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And all God's people said, Amen.